listening to the Daily Daily Caller podcast on iTunes and thedailycaller.com. Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Daily Daily Caller podcast. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host for today, the 21st day of June, 2018. As I'm still in New York, this will be the last podcast from New York, so I'll be able to get back to using my full voice, if I still have a full voice, this time next week. Tomorrow's show, the video, Friday video podcast, is already recorded because I'll still be in New York on Friday until Friday evening. So I had a great interview with the chief researcher from Judicial Watch. You'll want to learn all about that because they're really the only ones digging into the Obama administration, digging into the Justice Department, digging into the FBI. Remember when investigative journalist outfits like the Washington Post and the New York Times used to do investigative journalism? They don't do that anymore. Now it's down to Citizens United and Judicial Watch. It's weird how they spent 8 years not giving a crap about anything that the Obama administration may have done behind the scenes and trying to figure out why and how. Every single Obama scandal, every single Obama negative story during those 8 years was discovered by those two groups. Not the mainstream media. Oh, they had a couple of stories that were leaked to them, but the actual nuts and bolts reporting was done by these groups. And it's an interesting interview. You will like it. Make sure you listen, and we'll be back to regular programming come Monday. All right. Got to talk about the big story of the day, and that is the president of the United States, in a way, caved to the pressure and did what he said he wasn't going to do. He signed an executive order changing the policy of separating families at the border. This should have been done legislatively. I'm not convinced of the legality or the constitutionality of the president doing this. But sadly, this is the world that we are in nowadays. The minority party up on Capitol Hill, the Democrats, won't do a damn thing. They don't see illegal immigration as a problem. They see it as an opportunity, a nice little pool of potential future voters. And they pander on race because they separate people by race, and they think this is the key to their electoral future. The filibuster still being in effect in the Senate means that you need 60 votes to proceed on just about anything. And Democrats are united in being against our national sovereignty. So that left little choice. I don't like it. I think it was a mistake. I think he should have made Democrats vote and vote and vote and vote on this. Make the argument that Democrats were keeping families separated. But the president's executive order doesn't revert back to the way things were before, thankfully, when it was catch and release. If you came across the border with a child, you were released immediately. Now the family is going to be detained together. It's a good thing. Families should be detained together. A family that's detained together is deported together. Oh, that's just mean, Derek. Tough. I'm sick of all this crap. I'm sick of this emotional blackmail that they're trying to force down our throats or force up our other ends. They need to enforce the law. If they don't like the law, change the law. If you don't have the votes to change the law, no matter how much you dislike the law, that doesn't make it any less the law. And you have to follow it. You swear an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Part of that means you have to enforce the laws on the books. If you don't like it, resign. The world will be better off without you in power if you can't handle that. But of course, immediately, since it's 2018, since Donald Trump is president of the United States, since it's a Republican doing something and not a Democrat, the liberal groups ran immediately to the courts, and they are now suing over this executive order, the one that they'd been demanding. That solves the problem they have been saying makes us akin to Nazis. Problem solved. But that's not good enough because they don't really care about these children. They care about getting as many illegal aliens into this country as humanly possible. They want them to come in. They want them to have children. They want them to create a worse situation here in this country. They want to have more problems. They want to replace Americans with people who are more than likely guaranteed to vote for them. So the usual suspects have run and sued. If you're in a liberal state like I live in Maryland, you can expect your liberal attorney general to jump on a lawsuit very soon because they have piles of our money to burn and no concern for how they burn it. It is annoying. I would have much rather seen the president force these pinheads in Congress to vote repeatedly. Every 15 minutes, Mitch McConnell could have kept the Senate up there, make them vote repeatedly on this, to change the law, to make what the president did today legal and constitutional, go about it the right way. But Democrats, again, don't care. They are interested in moving the bar, changing the goalposts so damn quickly to change the issue. Remember just yesterday, what was the issue? It was that children were being separated from their parents, while babies were being ripped from the bosom of their mother. Democrats, it seems, only prefer babies to be ripped from the womb, not from their mother's bosom. So as soon as the president signed this executive order, which in theory, again, I'm not a fan of, but at least in theory, would end this problem, families will now be detained together. As soon as that happened, a strange thing happened. Democrats, elected Democrats, immediately began criticizing the decision. Not because they didn't get their way. They pretended that they didn't get their way, and they simply moved on to the next bit. Senator Richard Blumenthal, Dick Blumenthal, appropriately named man, stolen valor fame, pretended to be a Vietnam veteran, lied about that. Is a senator in good standing from Connecticut, a Democrat. He tweeted out immediately, quote, "Ending family separation would be a welcome and humane step, but the solution cannot be the immoral and unlawful detention of children. Indefinitely imprisoning children and families is still inhumane and ineffective law enforcement." See what he did right there? The issue was, yesterday, you're separating children from their parents. Now today it is you're imprisoning families, and that is wrong. Oh, we cannot do this. It's not effective law enforcement. Really, there are several million Americans sitting in prison who might have a different opinion of how effective that tactic is. Not to be outdone in the worthless department, we have the junior senator from the state of California, Kamala Harris, liberal media darling, zero accomplishments to her name. She tweeted, quote, "This executive order doesn't fix the crisis. Indefinitely detaining children with their families in camps is inhumane and will not make us safe." Do you notice any similarities there? The word choices, the talking points had gone out. Both used the words indefinitely detaining and inhumane. The focus groups had been working overtime to come up with the most effective words to appeal to emotion, to try and get into your reptilian brain and make you feel and not think, to try to make you forget that these aren't just people walking down the street picked up randomly and thrown into detention centers. These are people who are caught entering the country illegally, trying to sneak in through actual ports of entry. In between them, they swam the Rio Grande. They didn't walk over a bridge. They did it to themselves. They knowingly and willingly broke the law, but that doesn't matter to the likes of Senator Blumenthal and Senator Harris. The goalposts have been effectively moved. You will begin to hear more of this and more of this whining on MSNBC and CNN as the days go on. Because the goal was never about getting the children back with their parents. Oh, the poor, sweet, sweet, nourishing children. The goal was about getting as many illegal aliens into this country as quickly as possible and getting them to stay. Democrats are now demanding that catch and release be reinstated. I played you yesterday Dianne Feinstein admitting that she basically had a bill that every Democrat in the United States Senate had signed on to, including these two boneheads, saying no arresting of illegal aliens within 100 miles of the border at all for any circumstances, which is suicidal as a nation. It's essentially ceding the first 100 miles of this country to Mexico for all intents and purposes. They don't care about the issue. Because the issue was solved. The children will be reunited with their parents. It will be a hallmark moment for all time. But they aren't happy because they aren't done. Because nothing is ever done with the left. They are never satisfied. You ask them what they want, the answer is more. You tell them big government has failed. Their solution is we need bigger government then. It is a frightening proposition. I think the president made a mistake here. But the issue, for in practical purposes, would be done. Of course, we don't live in practical times now, do we? Not even close. By the way, I want to bring to mind a headline from 2018, from May the 7th. That's 6 weeks ago. It's from the Washington Post. I think I may have mentioned this yesterday, but it's worth repeating because I think it's an important point. The headline, the Washington Post, quote, Sessions, meaning Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Sessions vows to prosecute all illegal border crossers and separate children from their parents. So it was a done deal. It was a declared policy 6 weeks ago. Where was the outrage then? It was the policy 5 weeks ago. Where was the outrage then? A month ago, it was the policy. Where was the outrage then? Where was the outrage before the Inspector General's report? Where was the outrage? There was no outrage. There was no need to distract from anything. As soon as there was, the mob was stirred up. They took to the streets. They demanded, they chanted, they cursed at the president, they cursed at the Secretary of Homeland Security. They went right on their rampage because this is where they live. This is the angry mob. Anyway, just wanted to point that out to you because it's not surprising in the least. It is horribly sad, but there's something I want to play for you. Because there was an actual hilarious moment on CNN, a couple of them in one particular interview. I have about a minute and a half worth of audio. I'm going to cut up and play for you piece by piece. And you'll see how concerned these Democrats, these righteously indignant Democrats, were about this very same issue when this very same thing was happening with a very different president. Shockingly, and it's not very often that I say nice things about CNN or anybody who works at CNN, but Brooke Baldwin had on Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin from the state of Wisconsin. She's one of those, you wouldn't know it. You probably, if you really think about it, you see 10 to 15 senators on TV with any sort of regularity. The rest of them, the other 85 to 90, you probably wouldn't be able to pick out of a lineup. If you listen to a roll call vote in the U.S. Senate, you're more than likely left scratching your head going, who, what, where? They maybe talk to local media, most of them do, but the vast majority of them of both parties recognize that they simply are not ready for prime time. They are not good on television. Many of them aren't particularly bright. They just manage to get by because of their connections or their money or whatever. They get elected to the Senate, and they really only have to be seen in public every 6 years to face re-election. And since most states are foregone conclusions, they just keep getting re-elected and re-elected, and they don't have to put themselves out to a place where they can be questioned by anybody. Tammy Baldwin is one such senator. She's not particularly bright, and she was not prepared for this question from Brooke Baldwin, so I give credit to Brooke Baldwin for not only answering it, but after Tammy Baldwin's garbled attempt at a sort of answer, Brooke Baldwin circled back around saying, yeah, you didn't really answer that, so she asks it again. First, let's hear Brooke Baldwin's question.
But here's a question for Democrats, because you hear the president now, you know, a lot on a lot of topics, and this one included, you know, looking back to previous administrations. They should have done more, right? And so as so many people in this country are certainly outraged by the cages and the thermal blankets and the facilities housing these kids, you know, they were all in 2014 under President Obama. And my question to you, Senator Baldwin, is did you speak up against them then?
Yeah, that's right. Everything that the people on the left and the angry liberal mob is whining about now happened in 2014 under Barack Obama. Do you remember those riots? No, they weren't any. There were barely any news stories about it. Senator Baldwin being asked completely caught off guard because, of course, she has been clutching her pearls nonstop since last Thursday, when the Inspector General's report came out on the FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton's email. She could not fathom a world in which these poor, sweet, nourishing people were put under thermal blankets and kept in holding cells. How can this be? Not my America. It was in Barack Obama's America, Senator. Did you say anything then? And this is the answer. And this is what I mean when I say not all senators are particularly good on TV, and there's a reason they don't do it very often. But Tammy Baldwin thought she was in for a softball interview with a friendly reporter. And again, I got to say it, to Brooke Baldwin's credit, I assume there's no relation there, she actually asked a difficult question of her. This happened before. Not that long ago, you were in the Senate. Did it bother you then? Where were you then? Listen to this attempted garbled answer. What you're about to hear has not been edited in any way, shape, or form. It is exactly as it came out of, or at least attempted to come out of, Tammy Baldwin's mouth.
You know, on this issue that we get into a moment where we're making progress, and then when it stalls, we turn around. I think we all need to continue to be focused on it and press it through. The American people need confidence that we can solve problems. Nobody believes that we have an immigration system that works. It is broken, it needs fixing, but we've just got to resolve to do that.
What the hell did she say? Do you know? Can you figure it out? We got we focus on the thing. Stop asking me tough questions. I don't want to answer. I don't have the answer. Blah, 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 blah. Unbelievable, but completely believable. Completely caught off guard. She has no idea. Her hypocrisy was called out, and she had no answer for it because, as a Democrat, her hypocrisy, well, she doesn't put herself into a situation where her hypocrisy can be called out very often, and she sure as hell didn't expect it to be called out on CNN, of all places. As I said, to her credit, Brooke Baldwin circled back and tried to give Senator Baldwin another bite at the apple. Here's Brooke Baldwin circling back.
But were you worried about it then? Did you raise your voice under the Obama administration?
Did you raise your voice under the Obama administration when it was your guy in the White House and the exact same thing was happening? Did you lose your sleep? Did you clutch your pearls? Did you engage your fainting couch the way you're doing now? Were you prepared to make Nazi comparisons and call us an immoral nation? Were you ready to do that, Senator Baldwin? Her second bite at the apple doesn't get any better than the first.
You know, in numbers of cases, usually I remember a constituent who was in detention at the border, arguably very inappropriately. And we raised our voice in that instance and many others. But that's we've got to do this now in unison. It's not enough to do it case by case or senator or house member by house member. We've got to resolve to fix this issue.
What she's describing there is basic casework that every member of Congress does. Their constituents contact them with a problem. She can cite one guy one time, not having anything to do whatsoever with what the situation Brooke Baldwin was talking about, where it was mass detention of children sleeping under those foil thermal blankets and in the cages of all the pictures that they tried to blame on Republicans, that they tried to blame on Donald Trump just a week ago. Nope, She has no clue. She has no answer. She has been called out as a hypocrite without saying you're a hypocrite and pointing at her. And she was completely caught flat-footed. It was a thing of beauty. Brooke Baldwin, God love you. You did an accidental bit of journalism there. And congratulations to you for it. You won't be rewarded for it whatsoever. You will probably face scorn in your newsroom. But for a brief time there, you did some journalism. It happened on CNN, no less. She'll probably be placed on unpaid leave or paid leave or something. She'll be given a good talking to and say, well, this is not how we at CNN conduct our business. That D after her name in the parentheses is a shield that should forever protect her from questions such as this. But for that moment, it was a thing of beauty. Senator Baldwin, of course, is not alone. Senator Harris, Senator Blumenthal, and all the members of the Democratic caucus are the same way. They were silent in 2014 when this was happening on the southern border because the president of the United States was not Donald Trump. It was Barack Obama. It's sad. It's pathetic. It's not surprising in the least. Anyway, that's all the time we have today because I am wiped out, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to pick up a copy of my book, Outrage, Inc., How the Liberal Mob Ruined Science, Journalism, and Hollywood, and really pretty much everything else. Everything that's happening this week and in the news most days this presidency is explained in that book. How the liberal mob works and how they keep people stirred up, riled up, and angry and afraid. And there's a lot of jokes in it, too. I appreciate all of you who've bought it so far. The rest of you, get on it. Don't forget the video edition of the podcast on Friday and talk with Judicial Watch, how they go about getting their information, the pain of trying to get information, not just from the Obama administration, but from the Trump administration, too. Where is transparency? We're footing the bill. We ought to be able to take a look at the receipts. All that and more tomorrow on the program. Subscribe on the iTunes. Subscribe on Stitcher. Subscribe on SoundCloud, however you get podcasts. Write a review on iTunes. I'll appreciate you much. Have a great day.